up the boxing moment on RSG platform with our analyst, Darnell Kirkland Jr., who's here. If you want to catch our past boxing moment and all other podcasts on RSG, just go to realsportsguys.com, and you can connect with us and get on our social media platforms from there. And so we got a lot of great videos and stuff there, and a lot of interesting things going on. So check that out. But we're going to be talking about who folks are talking about. Is this the next Floyd? This is the next Floyd Mayweather. Shakir Stevenson, boxing is back. Top rank in ESPN are back on the board. We have Shakir Stevenson up here as the headline. So, hey, Darnell, help maybe some of the folks who aren't really familiar with what's happening in the boxing landscape. You know, give a little background on Shakur and why he's such a special fighter.
Well, to be honest, well, Shakur Stevenson, first of all, this is my guy, man. I've been following Shakur Stevenson since he was in the amateur before he even fought in the Olympics. I've been telling y'all about Shakur Stevenson. He's the next up. But Top Rank kind of does their thing. They always go a little over the top when they sell their fighters. I remember when Lomachenko was like 6 or 7-0, and they had Teddy Atlas over there. I'll never forget this, because this is the night Terrence Crawford became the undisputed champion of the world at 140. The same fight, right after the fight, Teddy Atlas comes out and he said, "There's a guy that's 7-0 that's better than both of y'all." It was him, it was Terrence Crawford and Andre Ward, fantasy champion. And Teddy Atlas says, "There's one guy that's 7-0 that's better than both of y'all." Well, he's only 7-1. He said 7 fights, and that's actually what he said. But it was Lomachenko. He was talking about Lomachenko. So they always do that kind of stuff. They say he's better than Muhammad Ali. Then they might say something like, "Terrence Crawford is the most instinctual fighter to ever live." You know what I'm saying? That's a top-rank ESPN thing. But nonetheless, Shakur Stevenson is one of the most skilled fighters in the game. He's very young, but he's very talented. And he's a guy that, with his style, he's very slick, very defensive, but he scores on offense too. He's not necessarily the most powerful puncher, but with his ability to make you miss and make you look bad, a lot of the top guys are not going to want to fight him. And that's what he's running into at 126. It's the common theme in the sport of boxing that we keep running into. But, yeah, I guess if you have a sport that's not centralized, you know what I'm saying, all the different promoters and stuff, you get these kind of results.
And, I think that's the one thing. I mean, coming off another UFC 250 with, Amanda Nunes, the Lioness, and you just see the way that UFC is able to stack the card even without having fans and creating some incredible fights and then creating space for up-and-comer fighters to get opportunities. It was interesting for me to see, what boxing might learn and how they might, be able to create a card. And I think what you're saying is the inability to kind of cross the street, is might affect the boxing in, this transition time. But tell us a little bit about who he's fighting. Obviously he's the favorite. This is a young man, Stevenson, who I was looking at something that said that defensively he gets hit with the fewest number of jabs. And jab is like the set punch. Better than Floyd, better than, some of the best defensive fighters you might see. He avoids a lot of punches and creates angles. He's up at 130, fighting at 130. What do we know about his opponent?
His opponent, man, to be honest with you, I've never heard of this guy in my life. I did the digging. I tried to look at his box rank and try to see if he's fought anybody that I've ever heard of in my life. And to be honest, he's never fought anybody I've ever heard of. So it's going to be a tough one, because I don't know who he is. It's like scouting. It's like, when you had an AAU tournament. I know we talked about AAU last podcast we did. You pull up to the AAU tournament and there's this one team that they ain't Nike, they ain't Adidas, they ain't nothing like that. Where did they come from? That is this guy.
Pro kids.
Those guys can't be dangerous, but at the same time, in my opinion, if you have the skills and the talent to beat Shakur Stevenson, I probably have heard of you at some point in time, and whether it came from the amateurs, the Olympics, or somewhere in the pros. And I don't think this guy has what it takes, even though I haven't seen him before.
Well, that's this is the difference between boxing and UFC. I mean, yeah. You know, this is not a fight that Dana White would put together then. If he wasn't going to be able to draw that much on it. But it's a different kind of deal. It's like what you said before, Top Rank has just got to put the fight on. They got the deal to put on a certain number of fights, and they're just trying to find ways to honor the deal that they have at hand. So I think Shakur said he only watched like 2 rounds of this guy. So he's probably seen
– he's in the same boat as me.
And he ain't going to be in the ring tomorrow. So that's why I was like, I hope Darnell knows something about Shakur. He watched 2 rounds. Yeah, that's, oh my goodness, this is the ultimate disrespect. So he gets past this. Who do you see him fighting? He's at 130. There's fights for him down at 126.
Well, in my opinion, because he still hasn't vacated his belt at 126. So
yeah.
I don't know if he's staying at 130 or is it just a get back fight, because people been, they had a long layoff. So just make the weight cut a little less and fight at 130. I don't know if it's something like that or he's really moving up to 130. But as far as 126 goes, Josh Warrington has been a name that has been in the headlines as a guy they want to fight. They've been in negotiations, and there's been kind of like a game-playing thing going on. Like, Josh Warrington wants this. Then they say, oh, Shakur Stevenson priced himself out. I don't know what's going on. I wasn't privy to these conversations. But, it seems like they've been at some kind of a stalemate. They say Shakur Stevenson is asking too much money. And then Shakur Stevenson is saying, you guys should pay me like a champion. You're not paying me like for the draw that I'm bringing. And I think he said he's willing to go over to the UK and fight him. And I think they were going to fight or something like that. But then the fight was going to be delayed. Like, it's going to be like someone like May or June or something like that. But in the meantime, since Shakur Stevenson hadn't fought in a long time, he was going to fight somebody in like March, I think. Miguel Mariaga, a guy that Lomachenko was supposed to fight him, but then COVID happened, so they moved that back. And now the whole thing is in limbo, so we don't know who's going to fight. So if the negotiations fall through, the prevailing thought is he's probably going to move up to 130, because he said if he can't get that fight, he's probably going to move up to 130, because he did want to fight Oscar Valdez, that is at 130 now, that was at 126. And once Shakur Stevenson became mandatory, he moved up immediately.
Mm.
You remember that on the show, we talked about
Yeah, we talked about that.
He moved up immediately.
And you also, hear him talking about Leo Santa Cruz, who's, big draw, and he's like, Leo is tailor-made for him. Like, he talking like he just wiped the map with Leo, which, watching Leo's style, I could probably think he might be right. He tailor-made for Leo's tailor-made for him. As Mr. T said, you tailor-made and you're going to get hurt. I read that. I said, you might have a point, young man. He might be tailor-made, but that would be a big money fight, big draw.
I don't know if Leo Santa Cruz can speak that language. I don't know, because Leo Santa Cruz, like, he's famous for his fights with Aaron Morris, which they threw like 1,000 punches a piece or something crazy like that. And it's just a different style. So, and they're not necessarily selective with their punches. So Shakur Stevenson probably thinks, oh, I can just pick this guy apart because he's leaving himself open. But you don't know if when you get in there if you can keep up with the work rate. Or one thing, a lot of good defensive fighters like your Pernell Whitakers, your Floyd Mayweathers, your Guillermo Rigondeaux, guys like that, Arizona Laura, when they get in with a guy that usually has a lot of volume, they have the ability to slow the volume down.
Yep.
And that's something you got to look for in that kind of fight.
Yeah, but from a draw standpoint, as Floyd went up, he had to find those fights that stylistically it might not have been the best, but it was going to draw and build his brand. If he could get to the other side of it, he's going to be stronger and much better. And he, you beat a Leo Santa Cruz and you can get some of that fanfare, You know, his girlfriend is Latinx. In terms of the branding, she's a fighter. You know, there's a lot for him in terms of, you know, thinking strategically about you know, where he's going to be. He's the kind of young man that can do well commercially. I think he has marketability, his ability to, he's charismatic. You know, you're looking for that boxer who could be crossover. Like, you have Errol Spence and those guys, but they're not as charismatic as this young man. He's got that crossover appeal, that energy. You know, he's good in front of the mic.
I think you underestimate Errol, though.
He
might not talk as much in front of the cameras and stuff, but when he does, he's kind of funny.
He's slick, but he ain't charismatic to the level of Shakur Stevenson. I'm not saying that he got the star behind him.
Yeah.
Got the star behind him. So if you got the star behind you, you're gonna have opportunities for endorsements. Like, he's hitched his wagon to the right partnership. So from that standpoint, I think Shakur, watching some of his conversation, I'm like, okay, this is a charismatic young man. I mean, you brought him to my attention. I've watched him, but I wasn't really paying attention until, you know, you kind of lifted him up a little bit. I'm like, okay, I can see, you know, this young man has something.
So the advantage Shakur Stevenson has over Errol is he's starting young. Like, yeah. When Errol really bursted on this, when he really bursted on the scene, this is back like when he fought Cale Brook, and that was in, like, I want to say it was 2018. But he was 27, 28. Shakur Stevenson right now, he's 22, 23. Yeah. So he's a young guy. And maybe a couple years from now, Benny's going to be really hitting his stardom at 25. So he has that time to build with his audience, you know what I'm saying? So,
and I'm talking about, he has that. Errol has the pay-per-view box office money. So in the boxing scheme, Errol can make a lot of money because you know he's going to do damage, right? He's going to fight. He going to do it. So the draw can make big money and big fights, and he's not scared to fight anybody. Where Stevenson, I think, has an advantage is that he got that De La Hoya, I think, charisma, where it means he can go outside the game. He can make that money in the game, and he might be able to make that money outside the game in ways in which he might get access to marketing. Spence can get big fights because people are going to tune in to a Spence fight. You know, he can run that money team mode because he ain't afraid to fight and he good on the eyes when he fighting. So he's nobody, and you gonna show up, and real boxers gonna show up in his, you know, so, like modern day Marvin Hagler, in the sense that when he touch you, he hurts you. And they know it's gonna be some stuff happening when he get in the ring. There's gonna be some furniture moving.
That's true. So when you speak of Shakur Stevenson, a name that pops up because of the way you described him is Gervonta Davis. Because when you described him, that guy that can get his draw from his talent in the ring and outside of the ring,
yeah,
you gotta look at Tank Davis, man, because a lot of people don't realize how big of a star he is.
Yeah.
A lot of friends on my Twitter timeline that don't know nothing about boxing, they know who Tank Davis is. That's interesting, because we didn't know he had this much of a reach. We had this conversation before about how that fight would go down, but has your opinion changed a little bit, or do you still think Tank would run through him?
No, I think Tank is drew that association, a very much stronger association with Mayweather, with Floyd, and got that momentum much more so with Floyd. I think he's benefited from Floyd, given our previous conversation we had on our previous podcast. But I think he got that stronger association in the public with Floyd in that way. I think the difference between the two is just going to be discipline. I think if both are very disciplined, then Tank is a problem. Meaning if Tank decides he don't have all the weight jump, like Tank's weight goes up and down. And to be a Floyd Mayweather, it's never been about making weight for the most point about Floyd all throughout his career. He stayed ready. If you're going to stay ready, Tank Davis, oh, then I'm taking him every time. Because of his power and his viciousness and his hand speed and everything else. The key is he always going to be there? Did he have to cut weight? Did he have to do all this? Is he distracted? And I don't feel like Stevenson is that type of distracted. I think he controls his distractions in the De La Hoya.
The team he's around. The team he's
with is his team. He got the team.
He had the opportunity to be where Javonte was. When yep. Floyd was at the Olympics when Shakur yep. was recruiting Shakur Stevenson. And Shakur Stevenson pulled yep. Andre Ward instead.
Yep.
Because he figured that he had a better plan for him.
Yeah.
The way they've been showing him on ESPN constantly, I can't argue against it because they put him on a couple of Terrence Crawford fights. Terrence Crawford has been like a mentor figure for him. He's been training with him. They're training with Andre Ward, and I think that's a good move for him.
And Andre Ward, if nothing else, is that's why he's a great fighter. He's tactical, strategic, smart, understated, but he about his business. Which that's to me, you're gonna win that. So it's and now these are coaching trees, right? Floyd got a coaching tree, Andre Ward, who doesn't get enough credit for being, one of the greatest of all time. He's not in that conversation like he should be. And but now they're getting their coaching trees. So that might be that might be a standoff right there. Both of them are trying to live that legacy through these two boxers. So that would be an interesting dynamic. But I think if Tank Davis ever just gets fully disciplined, fully invested in the Mayweather strategy and plan, oh, he's gonna be a beast. You gotta get fully invested in a way that Broner wasn't fully invested. You and I know if Broner had been fully invested in discipline and committed to it, he would have a different reality right now. And it takes a lot. People don't understand. To be Floyd Mayweather takes a level of physical dedication and commitment. That's why he said hard work and dedication. There's a mentality to that that you all got to be ready to go through. And not many guys are ready to go to that fire.
But that's the problem right there. Javonte, his mentor is Adrian Broner.
Yeah.
He followed Adrian Broner. Even during his best fight, I think, was against Jesus Cuellar. It was on the undercard of Broner versus Vargas, Jesse Vargas, out there in Brooklyn. And he looked amazing. But for that fight, he was training with Kevin Cunningham. Kevin Cunningham had them right. He was a strict disciplinarian kind of guy. He didn't take any, he didn't take any mess. He didn't allow them to really walk over him and stuff that way. And it came out to be like a great performance for him. So I don't know if that's exactly – I think that is what he needs. Yeah. But he's content, he's content staying at home in Baltimore. So I don't know if it's going to work out or not. And I see with Shakur Stevenson, I think he picked the right team. And I think the being in the right system can propel you to that greatness. Like I mentioned Tim Duncan earlier when we said we mentioned Andre Ward, but it's that kind of Spurs way. Like, and Shakur Stevenson might end up being the Kawhi Leonard that comes out of this. And we guys got to wait and see.
Yeah, and it's that sometimes for us to be successful as you need to be, you've got to leave home, right? Sometimes what Tank has got to – you got to leave what you know, Tank. Sometimes you got to leave what you know to get to where you want to go. And sometimes the inability to do that, to not go to Vegas. And if you want to be with the master, be at the feet of him. See how he eat every day. See how he walk every day. See how he set his whole operation up. He's giving you the keys to that. I'm on the plane tomorrow. Do I fly coach? Am I flying whatever? Like, that is what you do. And when you can't break away from home for a little bit, this is a short period in your life, right? Like, this is not your entire life, but for a short period in life to get to where you want to go, what sacrifice will you make? That's like LeBron going to Miami. He had to go to Miami to sharpen who he wanted to be. He could have stayed in Cleveland. But for him, he realized, I'd never go to college. I'm going to go to college. I'm going to go to Pat Riley College down there in Dade County. I'm going to Wade County College. And then I'm going to come back and I'm going to understand what the master plan is. And I think that's where Javonte is falling short. Even though he's such a great fighter, when you don't do those things, they make a difference when you get into those mega fights with a guy like Stevenson or somebody else who is willing to make that sacrifice and to go that little extra mile. That's the difference between winning those fights. All right. So what do you hear about up before we close? What do you hear about up front? What's happening afterward? Do you hear any other fights bubbling up, or, you know, is boxing don't have that rhythm that we've seen with the UFC?
It really doesn't. We saw one of the fights are coming up. You got Canelo.
Yeah.
He still,
I know he said he'd be willing to fight, what, in September?
Yeah, well, like Billy Joe Saunders, I think, is coming up. Him and Callum Smith, I think.
Okay.
And Triple G is fighting an absolute no name. He wants to fight Camille Samada. You ever heard of him before?
He's trying to get a check right now.
Yeah, he just.
COVID. He's trying to get his COVID-19 check.
Yeah, he's trying to get his retirement check.
This is called a pandemic check. He's trying to get his. I need to get some paper.
We saw Anthony Joshua take a stand. He was in the Black Lives Matter protest out in London, England.
Okay.
And his fans have turned on him. And we saw that on Twitter. Oh my God! There's so many people are talking about. You have betrayed Britain. I was like, oh my goodness. And he came out there. He had a knee brace on, and he was on crutches. So I don't know if he's injured or something.
Wow.
But yeah.
True colors come through. Oh, there you go. There you go, man. Well, AJ, come on over here, hang out in New York, baby. You know they don't like you in London. Come and hang out in New York. You'll be all right. Well, hey, man, we'll watch this fight tomorrow. We'll see what else is bubbling up. It's good to see you. Stay healthy, brother. You know, stay active on Twitter. So if y'all want to catch Darnell, we'll have his Twitter handle on here. So y'all, he's active talking about boxing, updating. He's always on there, so y'all can catch him there. This is a Boxing Moment here on RSG. Come check us out at www.realsportsguys.com if you want to check out our other podcast. We love y'all. Stay there and stay safe and stay right. Till next time. Peace. We'll be right back.